Transformation is when this framework becomes the operating system, or it just becomes like in our bones, it becomes the way we do things.
Yes. Well, I was going to tack on, like, it is probably the most important strategic decision an organization makes, because it's how they are going to run their business.
Right.
And evidence of mastery of the four disciplines would be like minimized confusion,
yep,
minimized politics, minimized misalignment amongst the different functions in the organization.
Yep.
Which would also then show up with maximizing productivity, morale, and engagement.
Yep.
All for better results in the organization.
It took focus and resilience and consistency. It is a lot of work. And I appreciate you saying it's, you know, my chance to brag. But one of the things that I was fortunate to do is acquire and form a leadership team that believed in this as passionately as I do.
I am right in the middle of trying to learn really all of the healthy organization. What is it to really start to establish team norms and behaviors that are the healthiest thing, and you guard those behaviors?
The company can't adopt this type of framework unless it's 2 feet in from the leadership group. So I knew that if I didn't go 2 feet in, that my business partner, the chief sales officer, the COO wouldn't go 2 feet in. So I just made like an immediate dive into it.
This is the Organizational Health Advantage Podcast with Keith Hadley and James Felton, principal consultants at Table Group. They're in the business of coaching leaders to build strategic focus and cultural alignment that leads to amazing results. This podcast is for leaders who are looking to increase productivity and morale while decreasing politics, confusion, and unwanted turnover. Welcome to the Org Health Advantage.
Hello and welcome back to the Org Health Advantage podcast. I'm your host, James Felton, and I am joined, as always, almost always, by my good friend and colleague, Keith Hadley. Keith, it's been a while since we've been on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. James, it's good to see you. It hasn't been a while since we've seen each other, but it has been a while since we've recorded a podcast. And so we're excited to yes, kick off this series, right? Tell us a little bit what we're doing today.
Yes, we are excited because we are launching a series on transformation.
Yep.
And you and I are going to talk about what transformation means and why it's important in this podcast. And we're going to follow this podcast with several episodes where we interview actual clients and hear more about their transformation journey and evolutions. And
yeah,
so we figured today would be really good to like just set the stage for this series.
Yeah. And not only interviewing clients, but interviewing with some of our trusted colleagues from Table Group Consulting. You know, there's 50 Table Group consultants, principal consultants. And we've just tapped into our PC practice and just asked for, you know, what are some of the best stories of client transformation? And so we're going to be inviting some new voices into this podcast. And I'm excited about that. Not that I'm sick of your voice, James. You know, I love you.
No, I'm excited to get other people's perspectives as well.
Totally.
And I think it's going to be awesome because one of the strengths of this podcast is like us in the room and talking about this work and, you know, the work we do with clients. And then like, hey, why not hear directly from some of our clients?
Right.
And other people who are also in the room with them. So I think this is going to be awesome. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I did a little math the other day. We, you know, as I practice in the average week, we're probably talking to anywhere from 300 to 500 CEOs or senior executives leading teams. You know, when you think about the number of conversations we have each week or the number of offsites, follow-up calls, debrief calls, you know, and so just tapping into that repository of great information is going to be powerful. Excited.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's start off with like, what do we mean when we say transformation?
Yeah.
And so Keith, how would you start that answer?
Oh, man. You know, transformation, transformation is, first of all, we mean organizational health transformation. And if you think about transformation, you're always thinking about, you know, from something to something else. So transformation goes beyond somebody being trained on the five dysfunctions. It goes beyond reading a book. It goes beyond having an executive team offsite. Transformation is that is when you begin to see the impact that a healthy organization is having, or that health is having on the rest of the organization. And we're going to get into some definitions, but that impact is felt at all levels, and it's felt in every single metric. It, you know, if you think about a transformed organization from unhealthy to healthy, is going to show up in our bottom line results. It's going to show up in our financial results. It's going to show up in our productivity. It's going to show up in how our customers view us. It's going to show up in how our employees experience us. It's going to hit every part of the organization, but it starts with something very, very simple, which is the mastery of four disciplines. So when we say transformed, they're transformed because they have mastered four disciplines. Say, talk to us about those.
Yeah, the four disciplines of org health would be building and maintaining cohesive leadership teams. And of course, we focus a lot on those, that top team, the executive team, but we also work with teams right below that. And we also realize there are leadership teams throughout an organization. And so we would say all of those teams need to be cohesive.
Yeah.
And when we say that, like a double click there is like building vulnerability-based trust in order to have more healthy conflict and debate, which is there for to make a decision that we can commit to, even if we initially disagreed with it. And when you do that, you can have more productive accountability. And if you have that, you're focusing on collective results as opposed to just siloed results.
Yeah, yeah. If you can imagine that not just being at the top, but being pervasive, where every team is cohesive with itself and also with each other.
Yes, and so you need those teams that are cohesive and aligned. You need cross-functional teams aligned and cohesive as well. So discipline one is building and maintaining cohesive teams.
Yep.
Discipline two is creating clarity. And we talk about those high-level questions that we think all executives need to be aligned on and answer, which is, why do you exist? How do you behave? What is it you do exactly? How will you succeed? What's most important right now? And who does what?
Yep.
And the top two probably never change in an organization. The rest can change at various stages of the organization. But even beyond that, we would say leadership teams are creating clarity all the time.
Yeah.
Because they are a leadership team, they are making decisions all the time.
Right.
And so this is where you are minimizing confusion within an organization.
Yeah. I just want to pause there. So transformation is like a state of being. It's not an end result. It's a state of being. And there's always going to be a gravitational pull to bring you back down to earth. I had a client say recently that it's like paying rent, not paying off a mortgage. You're always going to have to pay rent to stay healthy. But just in what you've described, the first two disciplines, just imagine an organization where every team at every level is cohesive, right? They trust each other to have those conversations, and that cohesion quickly forms, even with temporary cross-functional project teams. There's just a cohesive way of operating with one another, and they're all clear. They're all really clear on like what we're working on right now and who's doing what and what's most important focus, and we're all aligned in the same direction. You know, it just seems, for many listening to this, it might seem like an impossible thing, but it's not. We have clients that get there. There's always some noise. There's always confusion, which is why it's an ongoing discipline to get cohesive and then to stay clear, focused, and aligned at every level. Like, bam, that's transformed. So disciplines three and four help us achieve that state.
Yes. So discipline three is over-communicating clarity. And this is where we ask leaders to be chief reminding officers. You know, make sure people know what's important strategically and culturally. make sure they know what you're working on now that maybe the organization is focused on, maybe a department is focused on. Like, help people know how they should be prioritizing their work. And this comes through formal communication. It comes through informal communication. We would say you also need to inform people and you need to engage them. And this is probably the discipline that most leaders would say they're weakest at, or they need to improve on the most.
Yep.
And that's okay. But for sure, your employees want to know what's important to the success of the organization, what's important for them to be working on.
Yep.
And in fact, what most people don't leave companies because they've been over-informed.
Right.
You know, or over-engaged, or they know what's going on too much.
Yeah.
That's usually not what they say. It's the opposite.
Can I share an anecdote?
Of course.
I did a half-day workshop recently, which I do not like doing because it's not transformational. But it was a CEO who has done a lot of work with a couple of different startups. He's very familiar with our models. And he assured me that prior to the half day, he said, like, we've already done our rally cry work. The rally cry is set. All of our defining objectives are set. All of our standard operating objectives are set. Like, we don't need to do that work. I was like, great, that's awesome. So as I teed up the day, I just walked through the four disciplines like we always do. And I just asked the group, you know, and I'm setting the stage for me just to talk about team cohesion. And I just said, so, hey, just now you're looking at the four disciplines. Where do you think we're the strongest? Where are we the weakest? And a number of people said clarity. And I was looking at the CEO. I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I thought we're pretty clear. And he's like, well, we're definitely clear in our rally cry. And then somebody's like, well, I'm not sure we are. Which one is the rally cry? And he's like, you know, it's the rally, you know, the rally cry. And I was like, well, let's just see how clear we are. And and he's like, yeah, I would love to, like, let's poll the group. And he was like, convinced that they were going to totally nail it. And then somebody's like, wait, is this the list of six things? He's like, no, it's the list of four things. And he was like, wait, which list is that? And I was like, nobody check their phones. You can't go to your phones. Everybody take out a blank sheet of paper, write it down. I am not kidding, right. James. There were 10 executives in the room. Between the 10 of them, they could only come up with one of the four defining objectives. And they all got the rally cry because the rally cry was a single word. I'm not going to say it, but it was a single word. And then it was like, and that means these four things. And 10 people collectively could come up with one. And the leader's like, well, I guess. And then when he revealed it, they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds familiar. And I was like, okay. Like, so the issue is not discipline two, it's discipline three. It's over communication. Like, that was not a transformed company or a transformed team yet. They're getting there.
Yes. And the other thing is they wouldn't be outliers.
No, not at all. That's so normal. It is so normal.
And the funny thing is like, wait a second. They're the leaders of the organization. If they aren't aligned,
totally,
then there's no chance the rest of the organization is.
Right.
And so they're moving in a bunch of different directions. And so again, that's the importance of this work. And so then let's finish the model.
Sure.
The fourth discipline is reinforcing the clarity in your human systems. So like how you hire people, how you onboard them, how you do performance reviews, how you coach, why you might part ways with people, why you would promote or reward people is around what you've said is important strategically and culturally.
Right.
It's not just are they doing their job, but are they focused on the right things, again, strategically and culturally.
Yeah.
The glue to all of that is probably the meeting cadence that each team is using.
Yeah.
And making sure those are productive and effective.
Yeah. Yeah. When we talk about transformation, it's like, you know, it's the mastery of those four disciplines, including the meetings. And it's not just the state of being aware of those four things and being able to rehearse them back or recite them back. It's not even the state of being committed to those things or really bought in that these are going to be necessary and helpful. Because clients, you know, companies get there all the time. They read one of Pat Lencioni's books and they're like, this is awesome. I love this stuff. But it's really when you have reached the state where, like, we're running our company based on these things. Like, we don't tolerate behaviors in our meetings that violate team cohesion. You know, we don't tolerate leaders not speaking up when they should. We don't tolerate leaders who you know, won't confront a problem or an issue. We don't have any tolerance for a lack of clarity or ambiguity. Like every time something is unclear or ambiguous, we just stop and say, hey, let's get that clear. Let's write it down. Bill Weingartner and I are working with a leader now who is just really leaned into the working genius, and he'll just stop in the middle of a meeting. He's like, let me be clear. I'm galvanizing you right now. This is the decision. This is the direction we're going. Is everybody clear on that? And everybody's like, yes, we are. Okay, good. You know, but I love his energy around, like, we can use a lot of words, but if we're not clear. So transformation right. is when this framework becomes the operating system, or it just becomes like in our bones, it becomes the way we do things.
Yes. Well, I was going to tack on, like, it is probably the most important strategic decision an organization makes, because it's how they are going to run their business.
Right.
And evidence of mastery of the four disciplines would be like minimized confusion,
yep.
minimized politics, minimize misalignment amongst the different functions in the organization.
Yep.
Which would also then show up with maximizing productivity, morale, and engagement.
Yep.
All for better results in the organization.
Yeah. In the spirit of like allowing us to make faster, better decisions, allowing our execution to be more seamless, more agile, which then, of course, is going to yes. produce better results. How do we know it produces better results? Yes. Well, because you make a decision, you go to execute it, you need to adjust. A transformed organization adjusts quickly. They adjust to market pressures. They have more resilience. They're more responsive. Absolutely. Like transformation, we know it's transformation when there's a certain quality or a feeling about the place, or you sit in a meeting and the meeting just feels super productive. But you really know if it's transformation when you see, you know, compared to their peer set, we are getting better, stronger results.
Yes. You know, an example of this is a company that I just worked with over the last couple of days, and they are a CPG company. And you and I started working with them 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
actually about this time 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And they went from startup, and I think we started working with them when there are four people on the team.
Mm-hmm. On the leadership team.
On the leadership team.
It hadn't even been defined as the leadership team yet. That was the first conversation. Exactly. Was like, who should be on the leadership team?
Exactly. And they were about $20 million in revenue.
Probably about 30 people in the company, maybe 30 people.
Yes. And they've now blown up to 400 people in the company. And their number one product is number two in North America.
Wow. In a very, very big space.
In a very, very big competitive space with companies we know that they are competing against. And this lean company is like crushing a bunch of other companies
yeah.
and is now going after a very big fish and competing with them.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect example of, like, you know, minimizing confusion and politics and misalignment for higher productivity, morale, and engagement, for overall better results in the organization. And their founder and their team at the time worked on org health for better discussions, better decisions, faster results. And now they've grown and sustained this and even transitioned. The founder has stepped back and is now on the board, of course, but now they have a new CEO and it's been seamless. This transition has been awesome. And they keep going after number one, and they keep like making progress. And it's been a great example of a company that has just maintained this mastery of the four disciplines.
And not at all in an easy industry. And we've seen throughout that 4 year, they've had to make some significant strategic pivots in terms of the market they were going for, the products they offered, even where they were sold, from being primarily sold online to now sold in the biggest, you know, stores.
We could say Walmart, Target, Costco.
Yeah. And it's hard to break into those places and make an impact.
Yes. Yes. And I will tell you that we were at a hotel and we were kind of coming into the conference room, And this really cool thing happened, that there was another group going into another conference room, and they saw the sign of this company, and a couple of people came in and said, hey, we're really big fans of yours. We've switched from this competitor, they named the competitor, to you folks, and we love your products.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to see that happen, you know.
I'm just curious, what was it like to work with that team that you would say not only are they a transformed company, they're a transformed team, it's a transformed leader. Like, just qualitatively, James, what's it like to work with that kind of a team compared to somebody that's way at the beginning of the journey?
Hard conversations were without ego.
Yeah.
The necessary strategic conversations where people had opinions were open-minded and curious. And you couldn't really tell which people in the conversation led which departments.
Mm.
You know, there for sure wasn't an advocacy for certain departments.
Right.
It was, what's the best decision for the company?
What about in the clarity side? What does it look like when a company is clear?
Boy, they didn't intentionally go, okay, hold on, let's point to our core purpose. But it was, this is who we are. You know, they kept referring to it without pausing. You know, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is who we're focused on.
Yep.
And actually, there was an intentional portion of the agenda around the core values. And just to make sure these are still the right ones and make sure hey, the people who exhibit these are still, you know, the best employees. And there's some coaching we should do or some clarity, but it was, yep, this is still true of our best employees.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would say these executives making really important decisions did it in a way that was open-minded, curious, strong opinions, like I said, but what's the best solution?
Right.
And getting there without ego getting in the way.
Yeah. What I like about what you're describing is you were talking about an executive team offsite where they were actually just doing the work. The focus of the offsite wasn't do we have enough trust? You know, what are our conflict norms? That's not what they were talking about. They were just in a trusting relationship having conflict about an actual business decision. That's how they spent their time. Now, we often have to work with leaders to help them achieve that state of being where you get together, you carve out a few hours and you make a hard decision based on data, based on intuition, based on whatever. But, you know, there's just something qualitatively different and incredibly satisfying to see a healthy executive team at work and a healthy executive team that is in and of themselves leading healthy functional teams at the next level. I was with a client recently that was, you know, we don't even talk about thematic goal because they're always working on their thematic goal. They do that outside of the time we spend together. And Each of those leaders has a rally cry or a thematic goal for the functions they lead that they very intentionally talk about together. So they know that, hey, are these things aligned? And, you know, they would describe themselves as being laser focused. It's the opposite of everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. It's everybody is focused on the same thing. And, you know, listening to this, you might think, well, Keith, James, that's easy to do. The clients that you work with are small. They're not. I mean, we do have some smaller organizations, but this transcends headcount barriers. This transcends headcount scale. This, a transformed organization, this is scalable. And we'll hear some stories of what that looks like at scale.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's what I'm excited about, because we have some smaller companies that, you know, we're interviewing the CEO and their table group consultant, and we have some bigger ones. And we know that we actually work with Southwest and Chick-fil-A, and those are scaled, profitable, great culture organizations.
Yeah.
You know, so we know this also works at a grand scale. You and I think, like to work with those mid-sized to smaller organizations because we know the impact is quick.
Yeah.
You know, we really can help a leader and executives affect change quickly in those size companies.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you said that. It's the leader that affects change, because when we talk about transformation, you know, who's leading the transformation? It's the leader. You know, it's not Table Group. This is not something that Table Group is doing to somebody. This is something that an outside consultant is supporting. There may be guiding, there may be doing some element of like teaching and training and coaching, but a transformed organization is led by a transformed leader. And they're doing this because this is in their bones. This is how they want to run the company. I just talked to the leader earlier today. Tim Cooper and I were talking with the leader who hadn't talked to him in 6 months. He was sharing a story of how they had to part ways with one of their senior leaders, and he took over the running of that department for a season until they got the replacement, because he was closest to it. And so he said it was actually a great experience for him, because he was single-handedly, you know, there's about 18 people in this unit. He was, you know, as the CEO, he was the one teaching them their core values. He was the one teaching them the team norms. He was the one teaching them about the impact of having a strategic alignment around anchors and around their rally cry. And he's like, yeah, it was like liberating for him just to, out of his own passion for how he wanted to run the business, to get this team on board. And now he's bringing in a new leader that's already on board. And, you know, and it's just like, we'd say, wow, that's transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. So Keith, I know we're kind of up against it time-wise, and I'm thinking, you know what? We're talking about clients, and what I'm most excited about is that in the next few episodes, we'll be hearing from clients.
Right. They're going to be sharing their stories.
They're going to be sharing their amazing stories, because, and let's be real, it's a lot harder for them to do what they're doing than for us to go in and talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's why they're the heroes. You know, and they're at the forefront of this work, and we're just honored and privileged to be able to support them whenever we can.
Amen.
So with that, this has been a great launch to this series, and Keith, thank you for helping me explain transformation. And with that, we encourage you to subscribe and share these episodes, and we thank you for listening. And until next time, thanks for joining the Org Health Advantage podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Org Health Advantage. Your hosts, Keith and James, are helping leaders change the world of work and invite you to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. For more resources on building stronger teams and organizational health, check out tablegroup.com.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.